Now my first scripture tonight is just a verse in the book of Malachi. That may not be a very easy one to find. So the page number is 1141, the last of the minor prophets before you come to the New Testament. And I've just got one short verse I'd like to read in chapter 3. It's verse 6. For I, Jehovah, change not, and ye, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. May sound quite a solemn verse for the gospel. But anyway, let's have a look now at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now a verse in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. A final verse, please, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the end of the book, it's chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. I'm sure you'll see from these scriptures what I want to present tonight. We live in a world, don't we, where things change by the minute. You can't be certain what tomorrow will bring forth. Economically, politically, whatever way you look at things around us, who can forecast what tomorrow will be? Nobody knows, and even the experts in their field, they can't predict it either. We were saying just before the gospel this evening, even the weather, it changes from one day to the next. You don't know what to wear when you get up in the morning because you don't know whether it's going to be hot or cold. But when you come to the gospel, you're talking then about something that never changes. And I thought about this, you know, when we sang that hymn. Do you remember this morning in the meeting when we were singing together? We sang that hymn, Yes, Thou Remainest. Sea and land, e'en heaven shall pass, but thou shalt stand. Undimmed thy radiancy appears, changeless. Through all the changing years. Friend, what do you know about it? The love of Jesus that never changes. The one who is the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. What does it mean to your soul? Have you got an anchor that will never move because it's founded upon the rock? And that rock is Christ. I've read from these three scriptures this evening because I want to speak about the yesterday, and I want to speak about the today, and I want to speak about the to the ages to come. And I want to just speak to you for a minute about the Saviour that's represented for us in that last scripture that I read. Yesterday, today, and to the ages to come. I want to look at it in the context, you know, of our lives. The today is the same for each of us. Now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. So it doesn't matter whether we're old or whether we're young. Today's today, and today's the accepted time in the gospel where you can reach out and trust in Jesus to be your personal saviour. and you can know what it is to have your sins forgiven, young or old. But when we look at yesterday, for some of us, you know, what's preceded today in our lives is quite a long span. As we look back and you say, what's happened yesterday in our lives? For people like Brandon here, not sure how old he is now, but not many years to look back. But please God, many years to look forward. But today is the same. Today, everyone stands upon that same platform, that same foundation. That today is the call in the gospel that you need to have to do with God and trust in Him as your personal Saviour. Today, where do you stand in regard to the Saviour? Where do you stand in regard to your sins? Oh, friend, I want to just appeal to every heart here that God is waiting in grace with hands outstretched to bless, glad news from heaven. And I can't guarantee that tomorrow will be the same. I cannot guarantee that God's mercy will be extended towards you in the gospel for another Lord's Day. But what I know is this, that His mercy is extended towards you today for your acceptance. And whether you're young or whether you're old, whether your history is long or whether it's short, today you can reach out and know Christ as your own personal Saviour. And wonder of it, you can know what it is for all your sins to be completely washed away as though they'd never happened at all. And that's the power of the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary to wash our sins away. There's not one sin left that He's not able to meet. No matter how deep, how grave, how dark those sins may be, it doesn't matter insofar as the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's Scripture. So that stands firm. The precious blood of Jesus avails today for you. I often used to tell the story, but I hadn't told it for a while, so I hope not too many here have heard it. But I used to be very friendly with a young man up in London. And in those days I was in my teens and used to get up to all sorts of things that I never should. And one day we were in the house and the two of us were playing around with a new pen that happened to be lying around there, and it looked quite an interesting thing to experiment with. And of course you know what it is when two young lads get together. All sorts of things can go wrong. Well, this pen happened to be filled with ink. It was one of the old-fashioned fountain pens, not like the biros that you have nowadays. It was a real pen. And it had ink inside it. And after a while, the two of us were sort of passing it from one to the other and writing different things on bits of paper. And somehow or other, in the process of passing it from one to the other, the pen got flicked and the ink flew out of the nib and it just shot up the wallpaper. And there it was, the evidence of our misdemeanours there in front of our eyes. And not a thing could we do to remove it. The sad thing was that the wall wasn't even emulsioned. It was a nice thick wallpaper, the sort that just sucked the ink up like a sponge. And before you knew it, we were faced with a dilemma. What can we do? There was nothing we could do except to confess our sins and make it known that we'd messed up the wallpaper and it couldn't be repaired. You won't need me to tell you how I'm using this example. You know, the precious blood of Jesus can wash away every sin. Your sins may be there before you, and there's nothing you can do. How can you hide them? How can you remove them? There they stand between yourselves and the God with whom you have to do. And there's only one way. Even being good, or trying to be, won't remove those blots upon the wall. They're there. And there they remain. Until you lay hold of the precious work of Jesus. Until you can say, that precious blood avails for me. Lord Jesus, wash my sins away in your precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed from every sin for all those who trust him. The sequel to the story, which was a happy ending, was that I was in fact invited back again, believe it or not. And when I got there, there was new paper on the wall. Not a trace, not a splash, not a mark on that brand new wallpaper. And there it is, you know, for those whose sins stand out against them before a holy God. The precious blood of Jesus can remove them as though they'd never been there at all. And you know, when everyone that trusts him is called to be with him in heaven above, I don't think we're going to be discussing our sins. I don't think we'll be looking back and we'll be saying, do you remember what I did? Do you remember what I thought and what I said? No. And the scriptural basis on which I found that assumption is this. That when Jesus washes my sins away, he justifies me as though I had never sinned. And God, in his goodness and his grace, but still in his righteousness, he comes out and he says, their sins and their iniquities I will never remember anymore. They're gone. They're finished. Gone from before the sight of a holy God. And what's the result? That you can go free because you're a sinner saved by grace. At the end of the book of Malachi, things were in a bit of a state. If you read through the chapters there, they're not dissimilar to what you find in the world today, where moral standards were being set aside. And persons who were being challenged about their departure from God's principles were saying just what they're saying now. But what have I done wrong? What do I need to repent of? Where should I turn? That's the way things were in Malachi's days, just as they are today. And what does this verse tell us? I, Jehovah, change not. Men would like to think that the Bible could just be set aside. And man's moral standards substituted. They would like to establish laws, and they do, upon the things that seem right to them. A way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The unchanging character of God remains. I, Jehovah, change not. God's principles stand. God's promises stand. God's word stands. God's love that was demonstrated at Calvary stands and stands today. Men may despise it. Men may mock when they hear of Jesus. Men may seek to set every principle aside, but God's love remains. And God's love for you remains too. And that's the wonder of it. That in Malachi's day, before 400 years before the Lord Jesus was here upon the earth, this is what he says. I, Jehovah, change not. Just a minute. Isn't this the righteous, the holy God? The God who will, in a day to come, judge every sinner who is still in their sins? Yes. His standards do not change. And ye, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Oh, friend. You think of the sons of Jacob and what they got up to. They did more than splash ink on a wall. You think of the situations that are demonstrated for us throughout the Old Testament. Of what the tribes of Israel got up to. But God says, they're not consumed. Oh friend, the love of Jesus, the love of God, it doesn't change. And it's been told out at Calvary. When they mocked him there upon the cross, and they said, he saved others, let him save himself. Well, you think of that, you know. And yet the Saviour went through with the whole question. He laid down his life there upon the cross because he knew that you, a sinner, needed him. And he knew there was only one way of salvation. He knew there would be only one name given under heaven amongst men by which you could be saved. And it was his. And he laid down his life upon that cross so that you might go free. Oh friend, won't you trust him? God's waiting still. Sons of Jacob are not consumed. But a day will come when God will judge this habitable earth. And everyone who is still in their sins, whether they're still alive at the coming of the Lord, or whether they have died, everyone will be raised. And those that are still in their sins will be raised in their sins. And they'll stand before a holy and a righteous God. What are you going to say? Still in your sins. You heard the gospel. You didn't accept it. You put it off. You said you'd wait till another day. What will you say when you stand before a righteous God in the day of judgment at the great white throne? I thank God that not one person who has trusted in the precious blood of Jesus and knows the forgiveness of their sins will stand before the great white throne. Nobody. Everyone whose plea is the precious blood of Jesus. Will not stand before that throne in the day of judgment. And why? Simply this. The judgment for my sins was laid on the head of my Saviour when he died at Calvary. And he has taken my sins away, borne them in his body on the tree. They've been removed. They've gone forever. And the now that I refer to, we have in Isaiah. Come now, he says, and let's reason together. I often think that that's amazing, you know. Here, on the one hand, you have the Creator God, the one who created the worlds. Men just recently were sending spaceships that have been travelling years and years, and at last they've arrived wherever they were going. You think of what man doesn't know that's even beyond that. You think of all those planets that move around in the skies and they never collide with each other. Who holds things in balance? An eternal God. Man's minds are finite. They think of things as having an end. That's all we can think of. But when you think of the stars and the planets and what is beyond them and beyond that, who knows? We're having to do with an infinite God. A God of eternity. A God who was there in the beginning. A God who is from eternity and to eternity. That's who we have to do with. That's on the one side. On the other side, in Isaiah 1, we have you. And when you compare the difference, the God of eternity and a sinner in their sins. And what does he say? Does he say, oh, there's no hope for you? Does he say, what are you doing in all those sins? I think it's amazing what he says. He says, come now and let's reason together. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? From a creator God to a sinner like you and me. But there it is in the scripture. And Isaiah wrote this, by inspiration, 700 years before it was actually fulfilled. Amazing grace, isn't it? And he says here, though your sins be as scarlet. Well, you can't get much brighter colour than that, can you? There they are, like those ink spots upon the wall. They happen to be black. But though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. No change with God, but change with you. He's prepared to change you and to take those sins away that are there like scarlet. And he's prepared that they should be as white as snow. That is, that they've gone completely. You know what it is sometimes that you spill something on a cloth and you rub it and you rub it and you hope that you'll manage to get rid of it before someone else sees it. But you know, when God removes your sins, he doesn't just cause it to fade by scrubbing it, but it's as though it's white as snow. It's covered. It's out of sight. It's gone forever. The wonder of the grace of the gospel is that that's just what's available to you tonight. That every sin you've ever committed can be washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. And though every sin is scarlet, it'll be as white as snow. That's now. Have you had to do with the Saviour God now? Will you have to do with him? Will you trust him? Will you own him as your own personal Saviour? I hope you will. The Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come, is calling on you tonight and appealing anew to trust in him. But then how about the future? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 for a moment. We shall all be changed. What a day that will be. I want to just tell you about this for a moment, because it's going to happen so quickly when it happens that you won't have time to consider them. That's the fact of the situation. In a moment, the scripture says, and in the twinkling of an eye. How quick's that? You think of persons that have just put off their salvation. Perhaps they've heard the gospel message like we have, And they said, well, I think about it. I'll put it off until I'm older. I'll think about it until next week. And then, you know, this event, which is forecast for us in Scripture, and no one knows when it's going to be. But if it were tonight, how would you stand with God? A moment, the twinkling of an eye, and the Lord should come to take those that are trusted in Him and trusted in His precious blood for the forgiveness of their sins. And He comes and He takes them all away to be gathered to Him. He told His disciples, you know, I'm going to go and prepare you a place. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. He's prepared a place for you. Have you reserved it? Have you reserved your place in heaven? The Saviour's got a place for you, you know. Oh, I hope it's not unallocated tonight. I hope it's there for you. You can make it your own, you know, just by reaching out to the Saviour and trusting in Him. It tells us here, the last trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You think of that. This is the one who has power over death, and there's no one will escape. Those that have been buried at sea, those that have been cremated, everyone will be raised. Yes, and we shall be changed. That's not the change that Isaiah speaks of in chapter 1. But this is a change that these bodies of humiliation will be changed to bodies of glory. All the aches and pains and the troubles and the sorrows and the fears and the anxieties, all will be gone in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall see our Saviour face to face in that day. And when we're with Him, we shall be with Him forever. We shall be with Him for eternity. What a Saviour we have. But today is the accepted time. That's what I want to leave with you tonight. Think about the past, your sins, and your need for them all to be washed away. Think of the future, that you don't know how long it's going to be, but it could be tonight. And ask yourself, are you prepared to have to do with God? And then think of the gospel. Now you can come to Jesus and own Him as your personal Saviour. And you can have peace with God. The one who is the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come is calling on the sinners today to come and trust Him. And I do hope that everyone in this room will be amongst them. May it be so, for His name's sake. Amen.